I don't know. I could never do the junior high thing, man. I've volunteered with various different age groups, and I found out like 11 and below, totally cool. 14 and above, totally cool. But like junior high,
so you
just
hate
like this
12
weird...
and 13 year olds,
dude. I do. They lose their soul for 2 years, and they're not people at that point.
Like, my favorite are sophomores in high school.
Sophomores are annoying because they think they're cool.
Oh yeah,
they're.
But that's cool because you can like mentally joust with them. It's fun.
Well, no, because it's like mentally, it's the mental jousting equivalent of one of those like stupid like punch buggy things where like you get in with someone, they just pop right back up.
Yeah, yeah, but it learns, and then you can just. Proud
like,
of it or
they pop right crap. Back up with just horse shit. Just, they're old enough to know a decent amount, but mm-hmm. not yet old enough to realize that they're still goddamn idiots.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just, and this is Geeks at the Square Table.
we hate children.
Hate sophomores.
And 12-year-olds.
I'm your host, Lawrence of America. This is episode 159. And the child haters with me today are...
That's Adam from the East over here.
Taylor.
And Adam Normal.
I guess you could be original Adam.
Original
now.
Adam, yeah.
We have an choice is yours.
We have an embarrassment of wealth when it comes to our Adam supply today. Yeah.
That's right. Above the quota.
We have a dearth of Adams.
We're in the black.
Yeah.
Three. So many Adams.
That sounds like a bad sitcom. So many Adams. Okay. But yeah. Okay, that's out of my system. Let's talk about something else.
Yeah.
You went to go see Logan. Does it deserve the glowing praise that Adam and Scarlett heaped on it last week?
Well,
I said it was good. I didn't say it was great.
Glowing. Best movie ever, according
now,
to Adam.
For the record, I had somebody I unfriended from Facebook because they snuck the ending into a post of pleading for concern.
Martha Fockers.
And so you didn't get the genuine reaction that you might have otherwise gotten, I guess.
I haven't seen it yet.
So I knew how, the big things that happen, which really shouldn't be a surprise, I knew. Did I enjoy the journey? Yes.
Okay.
Would I say it's the best of the Marvel X-Men movies? Not counting Deadpool as one of the X-Men movies?
Okay, yeah, that's fair. No.
Probably, if not right up there. Even with Deadpool is a totally different kind of movie.
Well, that is kind
of... This is more of a drama action movie. Versus, Deadpool being a comedy action movie.
Yeah, it seems as though Deadpool and Old Man Logan's Sad Last Day should not have the same tone, so I'm glad that they didn't. I'm glad you confirmed that just now.
How would you rank it against X-Men 99? Like the movie that came out in 1999?
The original of the... Now,
is that even fair? I feel like that movie has not aged well.
That movie has not aged well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, for its context and its day, it was fantastic.
Sure. It is among the... It and Blade were among the first... and Spider-Man were kind of the groundbreaking movies for superhero genre.
And I really did like the original X-Men trilogy, even the horrible third movie.
I liked it, even though it was shit.
I like shitty things, too. So.
Okay, that's true. There's several like movies that I admit are really bad, but I really enjoy.
And I do even like in the second trilogy, towards the end of the movie, they're all coming out of a movie and go, well, we can all agree on the third one's always the worst, in a third of a trilogy.
Yeah,
I
don't wonder if that was on purpose, realizing, hey, X-Men Apocalypse is not as good as the other two. I wonder if they were aware of what they were doing
but
to themselves.
It wasn't as bad as X-Men 3, though.
X-Men 3.
Oh, gosh, no. It was...
But I will say, X-Men 3 was so bad that we still really remember that movie, whereas Apocalypse... I have a feeling that over time we're just going to completely forget.
Okay,
that
so yeah, I was making over the holidays. I was making a list of the best superhero movies in 2016. I almost forgot to include Apocalypse. It just completely faded from memory. Oh
man!
I was like, oh wait, yeah, there was that one as well. I need to include that in the list somewhere.
You know,
it did not leave much of an impression. No,
it really didn't.
It really was just going through the motions. Insert Magneto having a reason to hate humanity here. Throw in Quicksilver slow-mo scene because that's the thing everyone loved from Days of Future Past. Gratuitous Wolverine cameo.
By the way, though, since Old Man Logan, since that's Hugh Jackman's last Wolverine movie, we won't have any more gratuitous Wolverine cameos in X-Men movies anymore. Yeah. So that's something.
Unless, so happy about it.
I guess, yeah, we can reasonably expect that there will be no...
Now we'll have gratuitous Deadpool cameos in every
That
movie.
I'm for.
Yeah, I can't imagine them recasting Wolverine just for a five-second cameo in that Supernova movie that's coming out.
No.
So, yeah, we can be reasonably confident.
But I can also say that there's probably enough footage.
Oh, they could CGI his face on it.
Yeah. I mean, that... You know, they could probably...
They have to have some level of shame.
Yeah, after Force Awakens...
Fox, really?
No level.
I take back what I said.
Did you see Van Forstick?
That was one of those, like... I didn't see it in theaters because everyone was telling me, bad. Okay, I'm not going to spend money on that. That's one of those things where, like, months down the line, it's like, okay, let's see if it's really that bad. Yeah, it was really that bad. When I got to watch it for free, even not having spent money on it, I felt cheated.
With this, I will definitely say I'm fine with having paid to see it in the theaters.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good movie. I don't think it was a great movie that everybody is raving about, but I thought it was a very, very good
movie. In comparison to the other X-Men movies, it definitely has a little more kicky in the feels.
Well, there's a couple
it's a little more powerful of a movie. Overall, comparing it to movies in general, it's a decent movie.
Yeah,
solid.
Comparing it to non-Disney-owned Marvel or non-Disney-owned superhero movies, it's above average, towards the top of the pack. If you factor in the Disney-owned, It doesn't have the feel of a Disney movie, but I would rate it with the bottom tier of the Disney movies.
Okay, so it's... We frequently say that the quote-unquote bad MCU movies
are still
pretty good.
It's better than Thor and Iron Man 2.
Right.
Don't let them... Okay. Yeah, it's better than Thor or Iron Man 2. So.
But not
Thor
like,
2 or no, Thor 1?
Thor 2.
Thor but 2 or Iron
maybe,
Man 2.
Maybe better than Thor 1. Because Thor 1's a little disposable.
But you're not gonna put it in there with the middle of the pack MCU ones like Doctor Strange or something.
I would say it's better than Doctor Strange because it gives you something.
I like Doctor Strange.
I actually love Doctor Strange.
That was really good. But
I enjoyed Doctor Strange.
The bottom
well,
of the pack.
You're somewhat first blood here, so just a little bit of context. It's the general consensus that even the quote-unquote bad MCU movies are still pretty good.
Yeah.
And I think Doctor Strange is a great movie, but it's not as good as, like, Civil War or Guardians.
Well, see, the weird thing about this movie from a superhero genre, it's not a big special effects thing.
It's really more of a Western, I guess.
I wouldn't call it necessarily a Western, but, yeah.
It does have the feel. I mean, they reference the movie Shane throughout the movie tons of times, and it definitely has similar plot points to that movie.
Yeah.
So.
And that's kind of like a X-Men Shane, you could call it. I mean...
Let me ask you guys this: for a dramatic action style movie, how would y'all rank it against Edward Norton's Hulk?
Well, it's definitely better than that.
I
still like that movie.
Yeah, right. That's like a bad movie that I enjoy.
That's not a bad movie, man. I liked it. The Edward Norton, not the 2003 Hulk crap fest. That was
Eric Bana.
That was
not the Ang Lee Hulk.
That was terrible. Bad.
Hulk, no. Pretty bad.
That movie did not make sense.
Ed Norton's Hulk I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, Edward Norton's Hulk wasn't bad. It did a lot of heavy lifting as far as building the Marvel universe.
That's just let's face it. Hulk is Hulk smash. That's what people want to see.
Yeah.
And that movie, if it was not called Hulk, would have got a lot less flack.
Yeah, that movie should have been called Bruce Banner. Like, that's what that this, movie was.
This, it really was more about, like, the manhunt aspect than it was. They threw in the Hulk fight scenes, but I feel like most of the dramatic action was him trying to get away from people.
Yeah. Well, where, that's most of Hulk.
Well, that's how, like, the TV show that they were more or less going for the vibe for.
This movie was more about the characters' journeys. Wrapping up these characters versus... telling an X-Men story, This, and it very much felt like this could, a lot of people are calling it a swan song type thing. Yes, but it almost feels like there's a tip of a hat. Hey, here's, story-wise, the next trilogy starter, or whatever. So, now I'm not super familiar with the X-23 story and the all new or I mean old man Logan original story, but I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, they're not related to this movie.
Only in a very basic
sense. Right, that's what I was like. This is the old man that is Logan.
Basically, the only thing that old man Logan has to do with Logan is that Logan is an old man.
That's kind of the vibe I was getting, and that's what I thought.
Old man Logan was essentially Unforgiven, but with superheroes. Also worth mentioning, it was written by Mark Millar, meaning that there was a good deal of just over-the-top hyper-violence and a lot of kind of hokey elements thrown in, like him decapitating the Red Skull with Captain America's shield and T-Rex, like, possessed by the Venom symbiote and...
That's awesome.
You know, like
Venom
you do.
T-Rex.
Venom T-Rex.
I can see that.
It was pretty cool, but of course, old man Black Bolt showed up and just, wasted that thing.
I did think it was neat. I noticed when we were checking times on Fandango that if you bought your tickets online, they gave you a download code for a digital copy of Old Man Logan and All New Wolverine.
Oh, that's cool.
That's neat.
And, of course, my personal favorite thing about this movie is, 3 years ago, there was a collection that came in that had some autographed Johnny the Homicidal Maniac in. I bought for $5. It had NYX3 in it.
Uh-huh. There you go.
Yeah, so... It's like a $500 book now.
So, of course, his favorite thing is how much money he can make off of it. So
yeah,
it's like now it's always the retailer.
Always looking to turn a dime, Larry. Have you bought a Switch and sold it on eBay yet?
No,
that just seems like such a Larry thing to do. Although apparently you don't need to bother because there's a decent amount in stores, it seems.
Yeah, you can find them if you really, really wanted to.
Yeah. Although apparently it's not because it did not sell as much as apparently it's their best-selling American release console ever.
Well, that's the thing, too. Nintendo has been a little less wanting it to...
Excuse me?
Like, Xbox and PlayStation, they very much short-produced the first run. They want the hype. Sony perfected this hype system where it develops people paying thousands of dollars having to have the latest and greatest, and it creates all this extra buzz and everything and excitement, and they're going there. And with Nintendo developing the strategy of not being your main console, they're not playing that game as much. So they just want it to be readily and available and out there. That's if you get it out there and make it easy enough for people to get, and it's affordable enough. People because as the set, they can't charge $700 as your second console, Which, what are the prices?
It's $300.
$300?
Yep.
$300 for a Switch.
And there's various other packs that you can get. You can, like, pay $420-something for, like, the big full Zelda bundle with extra little peripherals and accessories in the full game. Or you can get, like, a three-game pack for somewhere in the neighborhood of $400. Those kinds of things.
The stuff they had at Best Buy included, you can buy extra Joy-Cons to slap on the side of them. You can buy a carrying case, which... You guys kind of saw me carrying it in my backpack last week, smudged it up a bit.
Do you have it on you now?
I don't have it on me now.
Shoot.
He brought it last week, though. Oh. It really tempted me to go out and buy one, but I restrained myself.
Okay. Worth getting, though.
I bet. It costs money.
Yeah.
I bet it does.
I'm having a hard time justifying it until I see what their online services are like.
Well, it's me. I only got Zelda so far. So.
No, exactly. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, they haven't released hardly any of their online services yet. Actually, no, I don't even think it's hardly. I think it's none yet.
I guess we'll have to see when Splatoon comes out, because that'll be the big online game.
The
first one.
The big selling point on me is the fact that you brought it here and you were playing Zelda.
I was.
That's awesome. Yeah.
You could almost think of it more as the next DS as opposed to the next.
And that's more of a selling point to me.
Oh, yeah.
Because, I mean, honestly, my Game Boy Advance SP.
Oh, I still play that.
Oh, yeah.
Right. That, I've gotten more gameplay out of that system over the years I've had it than any of my other systems. Maybe since my Super Nintendo with Final Fantasy III, and
fond memories on that.
Yeah, well. And of course I did log a lot of hours on GoldenEye and Perfect Dark on the 64 with the trigger controller.
Hell yeah!
But all the animals I logged on Animal Crossing and Wind Waker, you add it all up. I mean, just playing and still my original black and white Tetris from the first Game Boy on the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah,
If they could prove to me that they would have this thing be your dedicated emulation machine for all your past Nintendo favorite hits, I would buy that twice.
Don't count on it. Nintendo is pretty famous for not. When you say emulator, what do you mean?
Re-releasing
the game digitally, or like a fan made emulator?
No. Like
that second one, sure as shit, is not.
Yeah, the second one's not going to happen. The
Nintendo
first
is very stingy about.
Yeah, the first one.
Now, if I can play my favorite Super Nintendo hits, like
some of them will probably be able to buy them again.
Yeah. I haven't looked into that yet, but they've been doing it with all the last several consoles, so I imagine it'll obviously
sure
be the same.
I'm sure
so
that...
tired of their restrictive library, though.
Like all the best ones are out there. Like I got Mega Man 2 on my 3DS. I got Link to the Past on my Wii U. Wind Waker on my Wii U now.
Yeah, like what are you trying to play? What random like? Awful
I mean, I have the original Zelda on the GameCube on every Nintendo system I own.
Yeah,
yeah.
I don't even know where they did that for N64.
It's Super Nintendo on N64. Yeah, they didn't do direct legitimate.
GameCube, yeah.
GameCube.
Came with that pack.
They didn't do it in America for the N64.
Bastards.
I was looking at my buddy's Wii U the other day, looking at the digital download library that's available. I didn't see Chrono Trigger on there, and that's considered like one of the best.
That is not one of their games.
Probably not, because they released that one on the DS.
They're not consolidating their.
Well, okay, so the Chrono Trigger is a Square Enix game.
Square at the time.
It was Square Soft.
Well, that's actually kind of unusual then, because Enix did a lot of that stuff with Akira Toriyama for like Dragon Warrior and stuff, where he did all the art, but he also did the art for Chrono Trigger. So that's kind of a.
Well, let me double check.
Sounds
let
like he's moonlighting a little
my,
bit on Enix's main rival then.
Google Powers.
It probably is Square. I seem to remember it being Square, but it just occurred to me now that. I think that's the only Square game then that Akira Toriyama did the art for. Mm.
And declare here.
Yeah, Squaresoft. Yeah.
Well, that's probably why you don't see it on there, because they have to get it from Square Enix, and if Square Enix doesn't give them the approval.
Yeah. Though you can probably still track down the hard copy of that.
Well, they released it for, so Super Nintendo, which you could get, which would be super expensive.
Yes.
But you can get a PlayStation. They re-released it on PlayStation.
Yeah, but I don't want a PlayStation Switch.
Well, no. You can get a PS1 with a screen.
I know.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I could also just get a computer.
More likely, it's going to be all the in-house stuff, with a few exceptions that, like, things like, okay, Mega Man probably gets a pass because they don't really make Mega Man games anymore. So, you know, they
Capcom's
might
just trying to make money.
Yeah, dude. Capcom will chase any dollar. So, yeah.
Well, also,
Capcom has no shame.
Chrono Trigger being a PlayStation game, I don't know. They did it for PlayStation and Greatest Hits. Now they've done it as a portable, officially on a portable. But there could have been some sort of deal they signed with their bigger titles to get the stay, or with Sony or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, the first time I played Chrono Trigger, I killed Magus. Then realized that, oh, I kind of need him for a lot of these subplots.
Now, it's been a long time since I played it, but I remember being 3 hours into the final boss fight when...
That's probably all you need to know about Chrono Trigger right there.
The small child unplugged
the system.
I was in
phase one of the boss fight. Yeah, 5 hours. Yeah.
Is that child still alive?
He starved to death. He was playing that boss fight.
Yeah. But I was so upset. I didn't even look at the game for several years after that. Because this was not, like, my first try at the boss fight. Like, I tried it, made it a couple hours, and died, and, you know. And
gotta
then
go grind them levels, man.
Yeah. So, and that's basically went back in. And so, I was winning 3 hours in, and, yeah, it was just irritating. It's like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle that's completely blank on both sides, getting to the end and realizing you're missing a piece. It's just like...
Gotta earn it, man.
But, anyway.
Yeah. If they don't pull that kind of bullcrap and they consolidate, like if they give if they're willing to actually consolidate, you know, their Wii store with these limited games over here, then your 3DS store with a limited amount of games. If they can consolidate that crap into where I can get my favorites from the Super Nintendo, my favorites from the GameCube, the best of the N64, and, you know, all the hits all on one platform.
Well, all the first party stuff you can definitely get. Yeah. But that third party stuff is probably...
Dude, there are some side scrolling Konami shooters that are the jam.
Well, Konami is like Capcom. They also have no shame, so you might get those too.
Word. Which one has the least shame?
Konami.
Konami, Capcom,
Konami.
Or Fox?
Konami.
Okay.
Konami.
Well, I don't know about if they have the least shame, but I think that they are the biggest bastards.
They're definitely the biggest assholes.
man.
I don't think Fox has no shame. I think Fox just doesn't care.
Maybe it's more accurate to say that Fox just does not know what they're doing.
And they're bad. Yeah, they just don't know what they're doing.
Yeah. Like, Fox's writing room is just, like, that manatee tank from South Park where they just, like, randomly get pushed into a different compartment.
So what? All right, I'm sorry. What games are talking? I know Konami and Capcom. I'm sorry, but Fox is going over my head.
We're
talking
back to
general.
Fox, the movie making.
Okay,
X-Men friends.
I was did Republicans make games like this? Like, I mean, is there?
No. No, no, we're referring
Super
to...
Super Street Fighter Palin 2 Turbo.
I guess specifically their superhero making, I can't... I'm trying to think of, like, a really good example of a non-superhero clusterfuck movie that Fox has made. I mean, I'm sure they're...
Jurassic Park series?
Jurassic Park, I don't think, was Fox.
Yeah, that's what I'm asking.
What?
Yeah. Did they make the Jurassic
Park? No, the one with the internet, man.
No, that's Universal.
Yeah.
Yeah, idiot.
Oh, well.
You're fired.
but in other news, though, Samurai Jack did come back last week.
It was fantastic.
It was great. I was gonna guess.
Samurai Jack has definitely aged with his fan base.
Yeah, they're going in. It's darker. Well, not like
it's not super
it's not,
dark.
It's not grim dark or anything.
No, but well, I don't know. That river scene was pretty. It was pretty dark.
It was pretty brutal, but not like... It wasn't like wrist-slashing emo stuff.
No.
It wasn't like gratuitously dark. It was appropriately dark.
Yes.
Because it's, you know, they're dealing with a guy who's been doing nothing but fighting for decades. Incidentally, this is a first 5 minute spoiler. So Jack doesn't age anymore.
No.
Well,
thanks for that, Dick.
It's a first 5 minute spoiler. You can get over that one. That's like that is the opening monologue.
He doesn't age anymore, and he's been fighting for like 50 years.
Yeah.
Well, now that that's ruined.
Not really.
But it's
that
also
was in, like the promotional material. They were letting people know that one.
It's also interesting to note that this is really the first time that Samurai Jack, it appears that it's having a season-long storyline, as opposed to, like, all the episodes have been sort of interconnected in that,
like,
there are callbacks to previous episodes, but this is the first time that it really seems like specific plot points from the episode before are directly impacting the next episode.
Yeah, you're right. You had some through lines, like obviously him trying to kill Aku was like the main thing in the whole show. And then you have some things like the Scotsman showing up over and over again. But yeah, now it looks like we're having a overarching plot where we see the training montage of this band of fighters called the Daughters of Aku being trained, and they're going to get sicked on Jack in the next episode. So they are doing more long-form storytelling than they used to do. I mean, Samurai Jack has always been episodic, kind of like a Piccolo thing, where he just shows up in this zany scenario and just fights his way out, or you know, tries some scheme to get back to the past, and it blows up in his face at the end. It's always self-contained, though.
Yeah, you can really... All the previous episodes of Samurai Jack, you can kind of watch them in any order you want, and it still kind of makes sense.
I mean, I guess, like, watch the first episode, and then after that, it's just a crapshoot.
Well, it's the first three are, like, the movie.
Yeah.
And then after that, all the rest of them are just kind of, you can watch in any order.
Quite true. But it was not really so good. Anymore, it seems.
Yeah, it was a really good episode.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
Well, and that's pros and cons.
Oh, and yeah, aside from, I think it's going to tell a better overall story.
Well, the difference is audience.
This audience definitely wants that more. But
because the old audience, back when they were doing it, you know, just individual stories, was back when we were kids. And so that's kind of what they had to do, because we would just come in and out at random points in time.
Yeah.
But now we're all watching it as adults, so they can kind of do the long-form storytelling.
Right.
Yeah. We're in the age of, like, binge-watching shows, too.
Oh, yeah.
Right,
so, like,
but,
eventually this is all going to be, I think, on Adult Swim's website, where you can just, like, watch the whole season in a sitting if you wanted to.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is there is some advantage to shows that have a little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough.
And when you have a little bit of both, it does so much better in syndication. Yeah.
At the same time, though, most of my favorite shows are ones that are pacing themselves great, are building up on stories great, like Avatar or Breaking Bad. Those are all paced very deliberately and going, like, it rewards your scrutiny and your watching from episode to the next.
Right, and which, that's part of how the market's changed over the years with binge-watching and stuff like that. Because a show... Like, The X-Files back in the day, you could watch a single episode and still there'd be a story to watch it, you know, all together, you know.
Yeah.
But you could catch, you'd have to market towards both.
Right.
A show like Breaking Bad, you catch episode 3 of season 2, you're not really going to know what's going on.
Right. It's a different
spin. And like season, like Lost, that was the first show I really noticed that I missed one episode and I was the one lost.
Unless it was any of the episodes from season 3 or 4.
Well, I don't know. See, I watched most of Lost and I was still lost, even as I was watching it along. So...
Yeah.
It's clear, looking back, that there are parts of Lost where the writers themselves had no idea where they were going.
Well, they had to. They were forced to extend the show because it was such a hit, and they had to write themselves in circles to kind of delay things. That's just what happens when you.
But I still get the feeling that at the beginning of the show, they did not know what their endgame was.
Probably not. I don't know.
But I'm saying that as someone who actually liked Lost.
Yeah,
but
for the most part, Lost was.
I can't put it on my favorites ever list though, just because of its many glaring problems.
Yeah, and they did definitely say that they knew what their end game was.
They sure claimed. They did, Larry. Sure
no.
They did.
Whether they did or not, that's but they, I do remember them deliberately saying, "We know where it begins. We know where it ends." Yeah.
It's just that middle part we're confused with.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty good description of the show in general.
Bears and smoke monsters, man.
Well. Yeah. You know, Samurai Jack was still really good. We had some great fights. We had some great foreshadowing, including this mysterious figure who apparently Jack was quite traumatized by. Don't know anything about him except he has a green hue and rides a horse.
Yeah.
And Jack apparently is terrified of the guy.
And he's lost his sword.
Which does kind of have like this cool badass vibe of him just kind of like taking the weapons of his defeated enemies. And
that I think that's what excited me the most about this next episode is that in that little teaser you saw that he still had the sword that he picked up from the guy from the that he defeated in this last episode.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, but that just excited me.
No, it's really cool. I mean, it kind of makes Jack seem grittier, kind of more, like, resourceful, badass. Yeah. He doesn't have his one-shot kill sword anymore, so he's having to be a bit more innovative in how he fights his enemies.
No more one-punch man blade?
No more one-punch man blade.
One-punch man.
Apparently, they're making the second season coming out in November.
Really?
Yeah.
One Punch Man's hilarious.
One Punch Man is good stuff.
It's good stuff.
It sparked a whole new generation of who would win in a fight debates.
Oh, yeah.
But silly ones, because the answer is always Saitama, because that's the whole point of the character. He.
Japanese Superman.
Effectively.
Yeah.
Ah, Saitama. You ever watch One Punch Man, Larry? It's about a guy who beats people in one punch.
Yeah.
Man.
Really?
Yeah. It's pretty much what it says on the tin here.
It's a big middle finger. It's all anime tropes.
Yeah.
It's wonderful.
Like, okay, yeah, the more... giving it more credit, it's a cool subversion of a lot of different tropes. Like, you have, like, the dudes show up with their, like, overly complicated backstories, and Saitama's like, dude, just shorten it to, like, 15 words, man. And, like, you have, like... your invincible anime hero, like your Goku or your Kenshiro or whatever.
Yeah.
They're not going to lose the fight, so.
Right. It's got all the epic build-ups into the single shots. It's got the poses. It's got the sharp eyes and the hero landings and all that other bullcrap. And
then you've got, like, I feel like it's kind of doing send-ups of all, like, the kind of, like, angsty... showy heroes who are more about the popularity than the actual doing stuff, and like looking cool is more important than actually accomplishing a task.
So it kind of falls into the Excel Saga type vein.
Say what?
Falls into the Excel Saga vein.
In a sense, sure. Oh, you never read Dragon Ball?
Excel Saga. Or, no, okay. Excel.
Oh, I thought you were saying the Cell Saga.
No.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about, but he's like, I'm like Microsoft Excel. What's going on here?
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing, Will? Larry? Larry's making crap up over here.
Yeah. Using his Google powers again.
Yeah. Yep.
It's a fun parody, and you can take. It's Japanese Metalocalypse.
Cell Saga. So, Cell Saga is this weird anime where
1995.
Every episode is done in a different genre.
Huh. Well, no, it's not like that then.
So, but it's a parody of making fun of all the. Like, so the main character dies in the first 5 minutes of the show, episode one. You know, and then they have, the power of the universe, which is a character, comes in and resurrects her. Like, you're the main character, you can't die this soon, you know. I mean, that's, it's very tongue-in-cheek. They have a cat-dog thing that is their emergency food supply.
That's...
Oh,
that's kind of
interesting.
Yeah, Chinese.
This is actually reminding me a lot of Dragon Ball Z and Brain.
Yeah, it's
like
funny.
Like Goku refers to like animal characters as his emergency foods, and they do acknowledge a lot that death has no consequence in Dragon Ball.
It's true. Nothing matters in Dragon Ball.
Well, in the abridged version, when Goku dies, when Namek blows up or dies, when
I got you.
They're like, no! And it's like, who cares?
Yeah.
We have two sets of Dragon Balls. Why does it matter? We can just wish him back.
Right.
And then, like when they did the Broly movie. Incidentally, if you guys haven't seen the abridged version of the Broly movie, it's pretty awesome. Yeah. But, like, they do this part where, like, Broly's like, are you going to let me kill your son, Kakarot? Well, I'd rather you didn't. I mean, we have Dragon Balls, but that's, like, a whole day.
That's a cool thing.
Yeah. Yep. It's like, okay. Even if Broly does kill them all, it doesn't really accomplish much. They can just wish them back.
Dude, I've been watching some more Dragon Ball Z Dragon Ball Z Abridged here recently, and it's kind of just made me realize, like, understand that I am a fan of Dragon Ball Z. I love, like, I'll still watch keep up with Dragon Ball Super and stuff. But just thinking about it, taking my nostalgia, the fanboyness away, and everything that I love about the show, taking all that, Dragon Ball Z is a terrible show. Well, think about it.
Stupid.
It is very stupid.
Like, but no, think
well, okay,
like,
so
nothing I think matters. Like,
I think what's great about Dragon Ball Z Abridged, though, is that it reminds you what's stupid about Dragon Ball Z, but also what you love about Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, you know, like, no, it's like, yeah, well, the first time that Goku went Super Saiyan, I lost my mind as a child.
Yeah, I mean,
like,
it's a
it
well,
nuts.
I mean, the plot is kind of stupid, but it's very well executed. I mean,
yeah.
There's something very visceral and kind of almost cathartic about watching someone, like, ascend to Super Saiyan form.
Right, I know, and then by the end of the series, like, you know, you've got, like, 7-year-old half-Saiyans.
Okay,
like,
yeah, I got...
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, like, when Goku went Super Saiyan, it was a big freaking deal, and then like his 7-year-old half son fights his mom. That was the backstory that was presented of why Goten could become Super Saiyan. He fought his mom, and in training, he just went planet didn't explode. He didn't lose his best friend. Mama hit him too hard.
Well,
and then like
that's something they explain pretty well. They're doing like their list of like best Dragon Ball moments. They do list Goku becoming Superman as their best one, and they point out so back before being Super Saiyan was every Saiyan's birthright.
Right,
this was a really cool moment.
Right. Or, so you remember at the very beginning of the series when he had the flying Nimbus from Dragon Ball? And then,
he can teleport after a while.
Oh, yeah. Like,
and he gets completely forgotten about it.
It doesn't matter. Like, yeah, it's like, oh, his 6-year-old, like Gohan is a 4-year-old can fly. Like, well, okay, cool.
And what's really kind of funny is, like, we're getting back to Akira Toriyama again for the second time this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
He apparently has become quite notorious, and he's very honest about this in interviews.
Yeah.
We got, like, hey, what happened to this? Oh, I just forgot about it.
Yeah.
I just didn't want to do it anymore.
Yeah, Bulma's little sister, Launch, totally forgotten. Yeah,
she's not Bulma's sister, is she?
Yeah,
Launch?
Yeah.
I didn't think so.
I was so convinced she's like, yeah.
Not that as far as I'm aware. Whatever, but the point is that, like, why was she not in Dragon Ball Z?
I forgot
she existed, yeah.
Well, to be fair, he has so many characters.
That's true.
Yeah.
He just randomly creates.
And then it's also...
throws away.
And he was apparently, like...
Failed.
pushing everything into the 11th hour in order to meet his deadlines. Like,
wow.
A lot of times, some of the more iconic elements of the show only went through because the editors did not have time for him to put in a second draft. Like, when he made Goku an adult, nowadays, like, you know, every anime has a time skip, largely because of Dragon Ball Z. But when he made Goku an adult, the editors apparently were going to say no, but they did not have time for him to redraw the sketches, so they just had to roll with it. But yeah, also, like, why do none of the Saiyans have tails?
Right,
they were annoying to draw, and I didn't want to do it anymore.
Right. Yep. Yeah, Goten and Trunks totally didn't have tails. Gohan had a tail. Why didn't he? Whatever.
So yeah, so Dragon Ball also, and we're seeing a lot of this in Super lately, where they kind of retroactively throw in explanations after the fact because they didn't want to bother doing this crap.
Right.
I haven't seen Super. Is Super good?
It's pretty all right.
I enjoy it. Yeah,
it's better than GT.
Skip the first two arcs.
Yeah.
Everything's better than GT. But, skip the first
two
arcs of Super
except GT
because
Super Saiyan 4. That was that. I'm sorry. That cool. That was.
It's
cool.
A cool thing.
Yeah. That character design. Everything.
I do like
cool.
Super Saiyan God better. Or Super Saiyan Blue, I guess. It was.
Yeah.
But
Super Saiyan 1, but then you got blue hair. But then sometimes there's red hair. It's crazy. It's a whole different
we're
thing.
Not selling it great right now. But, skip the first two arcs, though, because they are retelling the stories from Resurrection F and Battle of Gods, not in that order.
Right.
Only they do a worse job. The movies did a better job telling the stories than the TV shows did.
Mm-hmm. So the movies did a better job of telling their own stories than the retelling.
Yes.
I figured they would.
The characters, not just like in terms of adding in a bunch of fluff or anything, but the animation was better and the characterization was better, I would say, too, of people like Beerus.
But the music was not better. That music, like Maximum the Hormone, just slapping that track around. Oh, gosh, so good. So good.
So many poorly chosen words in that statement. Whatever.
You heard Maximum
totally
the Hormone? They're so good.
That.
It was so good. Their name is Maximum the Hormone. Like, all right.
Let's just slap that all over the place.
Oh,
no
God. Just slather that on the
teeth.
You
re-shout it. They don't get any better.
They're so good.
But now, Super is now inside of a new arc called the Universe Survival Arc, where they're having a big multiversal martial arts tournament. But Goku is a real asshole right now.
He is. He's a wee bit of a dick. Yeah.
He just seems completely remorseless about accidentally triggering the deaths of like half of all existence.
Yeah, it's a true thing. Like it's
okay. He's got the Dragon Balls. He can just wish for that.
Yeah,
right. I know. Oh, by the way, God, can I?
What will that take? 2 days? 3 days? Yeah. Oh, man.
The Dragon Balls just get bigger. Like it's dumb.
Oh, now they're Super Dragon Balls.
There are
Super Dragon Balls.
They're planet sized. Yeah. Yeah.
So that's gonna take a whole week.
Yeah.
So, where does he go around neutering these dragons? Or do they, like, birth the balls? Or are they, like, oyster pearls? I mean,
that reminds me of another joke they made in DBZ Abridged, where Frieza shows up at Guru's house, and he's like, I'm having some trouble with my dragon balls. And Nail's like, did you try working the shaft?
Ting. Yeah. That's another thing that didn't matter in GBZ. Like after you remember how like in Dragon Ball, getting the Dragon Balls was a whole ordeal. DBZ,
yeah.
I don't know what is that like half an episode.
Well,
got it.
Honestly,
it's like it used to be. It was a series ordeal.
Well, the show evolved,
DBZ, it's a montage.
The show evolved beyond the Dragon Balls.
Well, I mean, once Goku can teleport and know where they all are, it's an afternoon.
Right. Dragon Balls don't matter.
But, I mean, honestly, most of Dragon Ball is the long series, a long progression of trivializing things that were a big deal at the beginning.
It's
including
true.
Characters and, like, plot points.
Yeah, plot points, abilities. Remember the Kamehameha was a whole thing? It was a whole freaking thing?
Well, I mean,
and now
they
got, like, four-year-olds just shooting lasers from their fingers? Like,
they keep using
God.
The Kamehameha, though. That's one of those things. That's, like, an indispensable thing.
Shooting freaking lasers.
They're shooting freaking lasers, okay? They got laser beams coming through from their paws and their eyes. And face and stuff like that. Oh, no, it's cool. This one's blue. This one's special now.
It worked for Street Fighter.
That's true.
Red bow.
Yep. Oh, dude, the red
which
one.
Which is older, Street Fighter or Dragon Ball?
Dragon Ball.
I know they both came out in the 80s, I think, but...
No. Street Fighter came out in the 90s.
The original Street Fighter or, like, the NES?
Well,
Street Fighter 2. I mean, they could do Hadoukens in the original Street Fighter 2.
Doodle it up. The original Street... I guess it was Street Fighter 2 came out in 95. But...
The Street Fighter 1 counts. I don't know if anybody who actually thinks of that as Street Fighter.
Yeah, I mean, did anybody actually play?
And I think they still Hadouken.
Oh, no, they definitely Hadouken.
So that's the thing we're looking for here, is which is older, Hadouken or Kamehameha.
I have to take my dog to school.
So get on that, Larry.
Looking.
Yeah. Kamehameha, the power pole, totally didn't matter.
Doesn't matter anymore.
No, doesn't matter.
Five more weeks.
Demon King Piccolo, bad mofo, fuses up with Kami.
My favorite thing is all the human characters who just don't matter anymore.
God,
by the
they
end
don't
of the show.
Matter. Yeah. It's stupid. Tien is a banter.
They're better about it in Super than they were in GT.
Yeah.
Or, like, I don't think they ever mention Tien in GT, like Yamcha, but in Krillin gets, like, a cameo every now and then. But.
See, Krillin is important because Krillin has to get his ass kicked by every major villain.
Dude, I think Vegeta gets beat down way more than Krillin.
Vegeta.
He does now.
Vegeta is this, like, there's a trope on TV shows, the Worf effect, where, like, you have your villain of the week beat the crap out of Worf just to show how badass the villain is. There's lots of DBZ characters that kind of fill that role, including Krillin and Yamcha. Like, Yamcha was the first one to get beaten by Master Roshi in the first World Martial Arts Tournament. He was the one who got cacked by the androids and by the Cybermen whenever they showed up.
Yeah. Well, everybody got cacked by the Cybermen.
True. Well, actually, no. Nappa killed everyone except for Yamcha.
Yes.
Another good Dragon Ball Z... Or, Vegeta shows back up in, like, the Bulma spaceship, and, like, Yamcha's like, it's Vegeta! And Vegeta's like, oh, a valet. I'm not tipping. And then, like, what? You don't remember me? Should I?
Should I?
Everyone's like, who fought when you came to Earth? No, I fought Kakarot. Nappa fought everyone else. Except for that one scrub who got killed by the Cybermen. Oh!
Yeah. Dude. You know, DBZ Bridge actually brought something to my attention that I never realized as a child. Piccolo and Vegeta never once had a fight.
Yeah, that didn't, they mentioned that on the show. I was like, oh, wow, that's right, isn't it?
Yeah, that blows my mind. Yeah. Piccolo is my favorite character.
They have never fought each other.
Yeah.
Not even once.
Which is crazy, because he was such, like...
Not even in movies, I think.
Nope.
Well, if we go by the manga Dragon Ball, it ran in 1984.
Okay.
The animated series came out in 86. The video game came out in 87.
Okay. So Kamehameha was...
I don't know when was the first appearance of Kamehameha.
It was early on in the manga.
In the original
definitely
manga?
Definitely around by 87, yeah. It wasn't the original manga. Well, pretty much the show is pretty much just exactly like the manga.
Well, then,
minor differences.
Yep.
5 inches?
I'm probably going to get, like, shivved in the parking lot by a weeb for saying that, but, you know, whatever. Whatever.
But, yeah. I just sucks, man. Everything at the beginning of that show totally doesn't matter by the end. I'm glad that K.O. Ken matters now. That's fun. Because it didn't.
No.
Forever.
It was irrelevant for a while.
Yep.
1, 2, 3, jeez.
But yeah, no, it's funny. Like, thinking back, like, it's... I don't know. I guess nostalgia is just that powerful of an effect. Because if I'm just trying to be a critic and
Dragon Ball Z is one of those shows where there's some good there. You can understand why it got as popular as it did, but you definitely don't appreciate it as much as an adult than you did when you were a kid.
Nah.
Which compares actually pretty interestingly with shows like Samurai Jack, where I actually like it a lot better now that I'm an adult, mm-hmm. even though I loved it when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it not only holds up, but you can actually kind of appreciate... They weren't just good. These things were genius. Like, my favorite episode when I was a kid was probably the one where he was fighting fighting alongside the Spartans against, like, the Minotaur.
That is a good one.
That's a good one. My favorite one now, though, is the one where he's fighting the ninja, because I can appreciate better the whole, like, lighting effect thing they're going with, where, like shifting in and out of shadows and light. It's beautifully made. It's a real artwork of an episode.
Speaking of nostalgia and such, Power Rangers.
That's out tomorrow, isn't it?
It's the 24th.
Oh, it's okay. Next week.
Yeah, tomorrow is Beauty and the Beast.
Yep.
Something else. I forgot.
Iron Fist, but that's not a movie.
Iron Fist is a TV.
Oh, that is tomorrow. Yep, I got to start my free trial. That's right.
It hasn't been getting great reviews, though. Yeah. I'm still going to try it, but
neither did Luke Cage, but I liked it.
Luke Cage got great reviews.
Yeah. I must be reading the wrong crap.
Yeah, have been, because Luke Cage was getting glowing reviews every time I saw him at one point.
Huh. And I also saw bad reviews
their reviews were,
Jones.
It beat even Stranger Things last year for ratings.
Never mind. All right, I'm reading bad crap.
Stranger Things. That's a great show.
It is a great show. That's coming back in October, I think. Halloween, isn't it?
Halloween, yeah. That'd be fitting.
It's fitting, but damn, that's a long time away.
It is a long time away.
Man. I feel like a lot of my reviews come from absent-minded Facebook scrolls.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, you're not going to learn a lot of good stuff from absent-minded Facebook scrolls.
Yeah. Of course. So I'm getting a second job, man.
Oh, well.
So but yeah, Power Rangers is coming out. So.
It is coming out.
2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
I'm not going to see it.
I will probably end up seeing it, but it's not something that's really big on my list.
Yeah.
I will see it, and I will Super Saiyan Scream every 5 minutes. Yes.
Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah, I
will not see a movie with this guy.
Nah. I'm going to get the blood lung everywhere. It's going to be awesome.
Don't be that guy, man. Don't ruin the movie for everyone else. Don't be a Larry.
I'm very respectful of movies because
I know it occurred to me I haven't said anything very mean to you yet tonight, so I gotta fix that with a random accusation right now.
That's right.
10 inches.
I'm sorry, Larry. I shouldn't have done that. I'll come up with something that I can actually criticize you for soon. I'm sure
you could just accuse me of wiretapping you. That's fine. That's popular these days.
I would, except I can't imagine what you would want to listen to. Hey, Taylor, can you pick up some milk? Yeah, sure. Thank God you got that information.
Quick, buy all the milk.
You would.
Oh.
Dumb.
Well, we're almost done tearing up the place, as far as on the store level. Yeah,
that's good.
For those of you local.
Looks like crap.
Yeah. We kind of came to a stopping point about a week ago and focused on recovery a couple weeks ago, really. Because a big Magic tournament will be happening this weekend for a new set. There's a lot of buzz about it. I believe it's called Modern Masters 2017. And I was going to do a video of me doing Pack Wars with somebody, but I've told playing with the product is violation of Street Date. So.
Wow.
Because I can prep it for sale, I can go ahead and crack it and sell it, but if I put it in a player's hands, whether they're a store employee or not, I violated Street Date.
Well,
yeah, you probably don't want to do that.
The policy itself might be bothersome, but I certainly wouldn't want you to lose the goodwill of the game producers.
Yeah, but I called to make sure before I even bothered doing that. Yeah,
wise move.
I was like, let me check, because I knew it was going to be a gray area. Now, usually if I do some weird little promotional videos, because I was able to get a hold of some older product or something, but big hype, a lot of fun stuff, you know.
Well, no, so to answer your question, I neglected to bubble wrap my unit with my scouts.
Yeah, of course, it's one of the reprint sets where they're reprinting a lot of stuff. It's a limited run set that they're reprinting a lot of the modern classics, a lot of $100 cards.
Well, no, not really.
Yeah, high value lottery tickets. Yeah.
I called it.
So that should be fun, should be exciting. Yeah, we're doing a preliminary Pro Tour qualifier, which is this weekend, and it'll be sealed with this product, which is the most competitive event that one can run in store.
So you just keep going.
Which is, you know, unusual for us because we're such a casual store. Yeah.
Yeah.
But the limited competitive events are real fun and still a fun way to go. Yeah, so that is going to be interesting. Yeah, always a fun time. Yeah. We're actually doing at 12:01 a.m. Friday when the set comes out tomorrow. We're doing a draft tonight. Yeah, technically first thing in the morning. Yeah,
that's so cool.
That's always fun. Builds up some fun, crazy hype. So I see you're up there hunting Pokemon. You got all the Gen 2 yet?
Not all of them, no. I don't even have all the Gen 1 yet. Including some.
Are you saying you have not caught them all?
I have not caught them all.
Well, I don't think you... Have you gone to Asia or Africa
recently?
Yeah,
I think some of them are literally continent locked.
And you can only find Mr. Mimes in Europe. You can only find Farfetch'd in Asia. And what was the other one? It's like Kangaskhan.
Oh, I know. I haven't seen a Kangaskhan. Is that in Australia? Surely
that
is.
I think that's in Australia.
Wow.
And they can have invisibility. Surely they'll put the kangaroo in Australia.
Yes.
But what's the American exclusive one?
Taurus.
So okay. I can buy that. That makes a decent amount of sense.
There's got to be a way to monetize that. You have to take them one at
a time. Because what I don't really get is Farfetch'd for Japan, because I mean everyone has ducks.
Yeah,
I put him in the front
and let everybody shoot at him. Yeah, but he has that little stick thing.
Yeah, we have sticks too. There's a Shakespeare play that features leeks as a plot point, so they definitely have leeks over there.
I don't know. Why don't you ask people who made the game why?
Maybe I will.
Neat. I'm a filthy casual. I never caught 100. I never caught them all back when it was red and blue. Like, yeah.
I've caught them all before. I caught them all in black and white.
Yeah, I stopped playing by then.
The only reason why I did that was because. It was a very lengthy car ride. I had black and my friend had white, and we just
grounded out.
Yeah, we just grounded out.
Yep.
10 hours there and back. 20 hours of gameplay. You figured it out.
Yep.
Good job, man.
And now with the Switch coming out, 10 hours there and back, you can get. Oh, the
Switch is coming out.
Yeah. Oh, well, the Switch only has 3 hour.
Yeah.
3 hour battery life.
Supposedly, if you're playing, man. I'm hearing that if like you just like leave the system on and play like some of the lower performance games, it's like 6 hours. Zelda is 3 hours though.
Yep. That makes sense.
So the only game that you want to play right now is 3 hours. And I imagine things like Splatoon will be 3 hours. And I'm not so sure about Mario.
Stuff that uses a lot more characters and a higher graphic engine. Now. Or a higher quality graphic engine, thus more processing power. Well, we're approaching the hour mark.
Yeah, we should probably wrap things up.
Yeah, this is boring, so.
Well, fuck you too, man. Sorry we're not engaging you with our delightful banter, man.
It's a good time.
Yeah. So that might be not only your final thought of the podcast, but the final thought you ever have, judging by the daggers Larry is staring at you right now. So these might be your final words, so choose them well.
Sweet.
Poorly chosen. Okay.
You wasted your moment.
All right.
I said good day.
My final thought. They're releasing another death battle next week. It's going to be Venom versus Bane. And I cannot think for the life of me how that's a fair matchup. Venom would crush Bane in him, right? Like, Venom does everything Bane does and, like, 100 other things. So, yeah. I'm rather perplexed by...
Venom would just control Bane, wouldn't he?
And isn't Venom superhuman strength?
Yeah, as is Bane, but Venom is also, like, a shapeshifter and has the ape Spider-Man's powers and stuff like that. Bane's really smart, but the way they do death battles, it's not like he gets to, like, have some crazy plot or anything. He just has to show up with his usual equipment, which does, as far as I know, not include a flamethrower or a sound cannon or something.
Yeah.
So I don't get how it's a fair fight.
Wouldn't, like, the first time they come in contact, couldn't he just... like take over Bane and then kill the weak little unpowered Peter Parker or whoever.
Oh no, it's Eddie Brock, who is an Olympic level Olympic level athlete. Like,
I recognize not a superhuman.
No, he's not. He is
okay,
not.
If it's like Eddie Brock versus Bane, yeah, Bane would crush him. But
yeah, but it's not
venomized Bane.
Yeah, see,
apparently Venom can take over everything.
If we're assuming that Venom is just going to jump ship the second he can, then okay,
I've seen a venomized tippy toe.
I'm going to assume that
right now Marvel is running a whole line of venomized covers.
They are,
yes.
And the tippy toe one was pretty funny, I have to say. But yeah, if it's Venom and Bane just trying to kill each other, which I assume is going to be the case, that just seems like it's a mismatch to me.
Watch Bane win for somehow. That'd be ridiculous. I don't know how I'd be able to justify.
Usually,
it.
I'm pretty satisfied with the arguments they make as to who would win in a fight. Like, even when it's like a character I don't really care about beating a character I do like, I at least accept the rationale. Like, Raiden beat Wolverine.
Yeah.
And if he did have a sword that can cut through molecules, yeah, even Adamantium can't stand up to that. So, yeah, Raiden should win.
Right.
The only ones I've ever disagreed with are... I could buy Batman beating Captain America, but not for the reasons they gave. And then, Kirby beating Majin Buu. That's just stupid.
I loved it. I loved it.
As far as the Raiden Wolverine.
Peach beating Zelda is stupid because Zelda's like a freaking like sorceress, whereas Peach just like is good at playing golf.
Well, she could also hang glide.
Yeah, she's good for like a weekend trip down to like a sports resort, but
but versus wizard ninja, nah.
Well, yeah. Couldn't Raiden just electrify the crap out of Wolverine with his metal skeleton?
Well, see, that's the thing. Is like
to the point to where it would just cook its way out of his body.
Well, Wolverine. Is just notoriously hard to kill, especially if you're using the extreme examples from the comics, where like anything short of a decapitation is not going to work.
And even then,
sometimes. Well, it's not like Deadpool, where like it's just nothing kills him at all,
right?
But they came up with a solid explanation for Raiden's sword should be able to cut through Wolverine's skeleton, and since Raiden is much stronger and faster than Wolverine, yeah, he should win. So I can totally buy that. Even though it's against my personal nerd sensibilities.
Yep.
But Kirby beating Majin Buu is the dumbest fucking thing I have ever heard in my life.
What is the rationale for that?
They use, like, whenever a character gets to take advantage of, like, Saturday morning cartoon physics, that usually gives them a pretty big leg up.
Yeah.
Like, they argue that Kirby must have, like, this unimaginable strength since he was able to throw a frying pan to the sun and have it orbit back to him. Which, again, was a Saturday morning cartoon, and I don't think should be really taken too much into account for things like this, but it, for the same reason...
Wouldn't Kirby just eat Boo?
Yeah.
Boo could just eat Kirby.
Yeah, Boo does literally the exact same thing.
You can turn anything into chocolate. Or whatever.
Is it specifically Majin Buu, like the fat one, or is it
Majin Buu and Kid Buu? Apparently not Super Buu. Or...
Well, because Kirby just like... I mean, how fast can you turn him into chocolate versus inhale?
Very fast.
Yeah.
He did fight Teleport Goku, so... Yep.
So there's another fine example of the quality of Dragon Ball Z. Are we talking about Majin Buu or Kid Buu or Super Buu or Evil Buu?
Everybody's got 30 transformations. It's stupid. Yeah, my final thought is nothing matters, especially with at least concerning with Dragon Ball Z. And also, nostalgia is powerful, man.
I'm so glad they brought back
the
rose-colored glasses. Or that's a real thing. I'm still a fan.
You can buy them in stores.
Or at least you could have before Larry killed you.
Then bought all the milk.
I'm going to go home and like try to pick up some milk and like, what the fuck is all gone? Larry! How did you even get here before me?
It's easy. I just have to announce the word snow on the emergency broadcast system. And the entire population does it for me.
True. I hope Larry never has that kind of power.
Larry having that kind of power is the stuff of nightmare. Alright. I mean, what you got, Adam?
Make sure to watch Samurai Jack. It's great. Don't give them another excuse to cancel that show.
Yeah.
Plus, I can keep one or two little units.
Also, watch out on Tuesdays for Ichimitsu of Destruction. This week will be a big week. We're discussing the Mask Annual. Whole bunch of books came out. Be fun. Maybe even Jules will show up.
Impossible.
I know. He's been avoiding us, and it's tough.
I'm not going to pretend like it doesn't hurt a little bit.
It does. It does hurt.
Yeah.
It does hurt.
As long as you have Bomba turn two.
I mean, I could live without Gomer. I mean, whatever. But you hurt us, Jules. You hurt us.
Oh. Turn off the Yankees game. Come.
Talk to us. Yeah. It's not even in season right now. You're just watching the spring warm-up. Just watching spring training right now. It'll be okay.
You could miss it.
He's watching the Yankees minor league team, you know, watching them warm up.
Well, anything, as we know, anything that has anything to do with the Yankees, Jules is all over that.
I just don't have to buy any new models for this thing.
Well, come find us here at Comic City 2 in Madison, Tennessee.
Son of Maddie.
Or hunt us down on the worldwide interwebs at comiccity2.com or outrightgeekery.com or facebook.com/outrightgeekery or /comiccity2. Or many of the other social media presence. Other than that, we'll see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Good night, Elaine.